Good evening. Welcome to Masonic Central, your podcast for Freemasons by Freemasons. Today is January 25th, and this is Greg Stewart and...
This is Dean Kennedy.
And welcome to our program. Tonight we have the wonderful musician, a Masonic musician, I should say, Howie Damron on our show tonight. And we're going to talk a little bit about his music, the Masonic Pride Movement, and the influence that this music's had on the fraternity and in the public at large. But first, I think, Dean, I think you have a letter to read this week, don't you?
Yeah, we had a little bit of fan mail this week, and this one comes from Pat Cholka, and excuse me if I get the name wrong, and he's the Worshipful Master at Henry Palmer Lodge 301 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And he was just saying that he was delighted that he stumbled upon our podcast, and he just finished listening to Morals and Dogma for the 21st Century and took interest in our discussion and how to reach the younger generation. And he felt that the comments were quite accurate. And I'm not saying that to pump up my own ego either. and basically he's just saying that he sees that the lodges are struggling to reach younger generations and that we have to work on that. So that's kind of that in a nutshell. And I think that for that, I think that we should have you send out a care package to Brother Pat.
I think we can do that. I sure am. I've got a few of them to get out, and I promise I'll get them all out this week. Thanks, Brother Pat. It's great to get your emails. Anybody who's listening, send us your emails. We'll have the email address to send them to you at the end of the program. So, again, tonight we have Howie Damron, who's the writer-singer of the CD Hiram's Call. And it's essentially almost an evangelist call to Freemasonry for its passion and zeal. Welcome, Howie. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, guys. I'm really looking forward to being on here with you all. You all doing a great service for the craft.
Ah, thanks. I appreciate you saying that. Thanks very much. Tell us a little bit about Hiram's Call. Tell us the story about how you came to write it.
Hiram's Call. I actually wrote Hiram's Call at the graveside of a brother Freemason who was actually the brother who talked me to coming out of retirement and going back into the Masonic promotion music. And I said, well, I've never heard anybody do this. So he and I often had conversations about Hiram and you know, about how if we could hear Hiram's voice speaking right now, what would he be saying? And so we was working on our very first album after I'd written the Masonic Ring, and we was pretty well devastated because before the album was finished, we didn't have a title to it or anything. And his name was Rich Stoll, and he was my partner in Buckeye Wild Masonic Productions. And he called me one evening, and he said that he had just found out he had pancreatic cancer. So everything come to a pretty much a screeching halt. And so after he had passed away, it was devastating. I had remembered that he had told me, he had brought me in there to his side before he passed away and made me promise that I would continue this Masonic Pride mission. And even though you can imagine, I was pretty well devastated. And he said, no, Brother Masons will join you on this, so you've got to keep going. So I gave him my word, and after he passed away, a few months went by, and I was lost. I had no idea what direction I was going to go. So I went to his grave, and while I was there, I was actually remembering back some of the conversations we'd had, and that's where I wrote Hiram's Call. And then the next thing you know, we call it the first album was actually Hiram's Call. So that's in memory and dedication to the greatest Master Mason that I'd ever met, Rich Stoll.
That's a powerful story. I remember in our first conversation and talking about doing the show, you telling me about it and just the feeling I had and you retelling it and even retelling it now and listening to you. I can imagine every time that you remember that story that it must take you right back to that time.
It actually makes it very difficult sometimes if I really think, you know, too much about it before I perform it. It's kind of a hard song to sing, but whenever I see the effect that it has on our youth, I'm able to get through it And of course, it's just it's a song that I just love to perform live.
So definitely a lot of passion behind it. The song itself. Now, this was a process over several years. I remember you mentioning to me that from the initial conversations you had about it to this slow progression, obviously with his illness and it finally overtaking him. From that period of time, that was several years in the making.
Yeah, it was. I had been a performer in Nashville pretty much my whole life, or a couple of decades, and I had a great career. I mean, I'd loved my career. But I took an early retirement and came home just simply because of it was wearing me completely out, being gone 9 weeks at a time away from my beautiful wife and kids. So I came back home, and then after, I don't know, a year or so, Brother Rich came up to me, and he says, "I want you to get back in the music business." I said, "Oh, no, I can't do that." So he said, "No, this time I want you to write songs from your heart." And he said, "Not the puppet that you had became, you know, being a national entertainer under management and all this stuff here. We want you to write songs from your heart." So we kind of just started doing it and, you know, writing a bunch of songs for the outdoor world. I'm the national spokesman for handicapped sportsmen in a program called Outdoors Without Limits. So I was doing a lot of shows there for handicapped and disabled sportsmen. And then, you know, one night, the story of the Masonic Ring is just a fact. Really no one was supposed to hear that song except for my son and my dad. And it came from an actual experience that I had inside of a lodge here close to my home. My son was getting his EA. It's kind of an important story, and it's a story that I tell at all the shows before I sing the song. He had just got out of the hospital from very serious chest surgery. Now, he was born with a chest defect, and he had two steel bars put in his chest. So there he was, 21 years old, walking out and was in pain every step that he was taking. And I sit there watching him, and of course he was nervous, as we all are, becoming an EA. And when he come walking in, I looked down sitting in front of me, and my father, who was my Masonic mentor forever, was sitting directly in front of me. And I seen the tears coming down his face, and my son, I was thinking, every step that he takes, he's in pain, he's hurting. So I got to thinking, what pains are we taking for our craft? It was so important to him to go ahead and get his entered apprentice. And because his dad was there and his grandfather was there, but he wanted to become a Freemason right there. Now, the fact is he should have waited about 6 to 8 weeks before he went ahead and did this, but he insisted on it. So when I looked down and I seen Dad's ring there, I got to thinking about, you know, all the years that I'd seen him go to lodge, and I can even remember, of course, we was raised in a body shop, and Dad was always showing me how to sand a car because I could not sand a car at all. So that ring would be flashing in front of my face, and the chorus of the song is almost exactly what he told me of his definition of Freemasonry. So all those thoughts and emotions just went running through me. And I just reached in my pocket and pulled out a pencil and a little piece of paper. And as he was walking around the lodge, I started jotting down the song. And I really had no idea, you know, and I say this humbly, how the brothers would accept the song. So kind of a touching story
I know I was rapt in listening to it again. I know anybody listening was. It's a touching song. It really moves, and especially being a father, a parent, but a father, and see my kids as you know, young adolescents growing into this. You know, that's every Masonic dad's hope for his kids. You know, to see that happen.
He's a 30 second today.
when you're performing these songs and you have such a deep connection to each song, it must be kind of hard to keep a straight face as you're singing all these songs, but it must be easy to always keep the entertainment in it because you feel for every song.
Well, yes and no. You know, after I had left the music industry, and Rich and I was kind of dabbling in, you know, writing songs that from my heart and just the acoustic guitar and things like that, I really didn't realize the mission that I truly felt that God was wanting me to go on until after the writing of the Masonic Ring. And then I performed it one night at a non-Masonic function. And if you'll listen to the song, I say nothing about Freemasonry in the song. And at the end of that performance, and I just slipped the song in. No introduction, nothing, just sang it. At the end of the song, there was just a dozen young men come up asking me to become a Freemason. And I'm like, well, that just overwhelms me. How did you know? Well, there was other Masons sitting there beside them, and their conversations was going. So right then I knew, okay, this is what I feel is my mission to do now.
That definitely struck a chord in that crowd. Have you done that in many mixed audiences? Not necessarily a lodge, but county fairs or any other event that you'd actually play at?
We do it. Any chance that I'm performing at anywhere, the Masonic Ring song is in every performance that I do. Last weekend in Troy, Alabama, I performed at a big Outdoors Without Limits event, and it was a deer hunt for handicapped sportsmen. And there was about 700 people there. And in my show, I started talking about Freemasonry. So I'd done my Masonic songs. And you guys talk about crying. It just tore me up whenever I looked over, and here come a man in a wheelchair with one leg, wheeling up beside the stage, and he insisted that he get up on the stage with me. He had to say something right then. What touched me so much was he takes the mic, and I look on his hand, and the square and compass is on his hand.
Oh.
And he starts talking, quoting Freemasonry. So right then, I was just overwhelmed. So, yeah, anywhere that I'm at, I always sing the song because, you know, it kind of tells the story without me having to say anything.
It's a beautiful outreach. You know, it's amazing to see that the reception of audiences, and not that they would have a negative reception to it, but it's amazing to see the willingness for folks who hear it to be so open and interested in it. It makes you wonder if the venues like this haven't been accessible in the near past to even broach the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it seems like that's a very safe and comfortable environment to do something like that in it. Hey, you mentioned even just a few moments ago that you've had numerous people come up to you that have requested applications or have expressed a extreme interest in it. Have you ever had any follow up to it? Do you ever get emails back or a postcard back from someone that says thanks, Brother Howie?
And you know, again, I want to say this so humble, as humble as I can. It is such an inspiration to me to keep moving forward with this mission. When I come down and there will be a dozen emails from young men who say, you know, I heard, well, let's see, a good example. I just had, at Christmas, I had a young boy and tell me that his mother had bought Hiram's Call and he heard the Masonic Ring song. Well, his dad had never talked to him about Freemasonry. So after he had listened, he confiscated the CD and was listening to it, he asked his dad for a petition. So when that happened, I was just like, well, I could quit right now. You know, right now we have young men that's happening. You know, the song has become a tool, a working tool. And, you know, that's my every mission right there. And now since the song has happened, everywhere that I'm performing, you know, I get new inspirations for writing the York Rite song that I just finished. And I'm a Noble the Shrine And I'll be performing this year at the International Convention de Malay. I've got the song I'm Living de Malay. So I'm pretty much focusing all of my attention now to this. And it's important that everybody knows it has zero to do with fame and fortune. I mean, I would rather roll naked on thumbtacks as to ever go back into the stardom world. I'm doing this just to try to help young boys understand who we are, why we are, and the importance of who we are in today's society. And if a simple song will give that introduction, then, you know, I feel it's my duty to do that. Do you understand what I mean there?
Absolutely. I do. Absolutely. And it's not just us. From what I remember in our conversation, there have been quite a few national sorts of bodies that have picked up on this also. Mm-hmm. You've had a lot of conversations with Grand Lodges and other national venues to perform or even to record something or write something for them. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think it's been a couple of years now since Brother Rich passed away. You know, it started slowly because, you know, brothers really didn't understand what I was doing. You know, they kind of thought that I was this trying to come there to sell CDs, and that has absolutely nothing to do with it. So it started growing a little bit more, and then lo and behold, it was so incredible. Just like you were talking about Brother Tim Bryce there a while ago, even though Brother Tim and I have never met. We became friends through the internet because Tim had me on one of his shows once. And, you know, getting the opportunity to meet all these brothers all over the world through the song. And, but a very, very motivated Mason contacts me and we become friends. His name is Rick Hess. Well, Rick and I, when you get both of us together, our minds is just kind of going 1,000 miles an hour. And we're always thinking of new ways, you know, to be able to introduce what we're doing out there. So we've kind of started this thing called the Masonic Pride Team, and it is just so humbling that these brothers have all just getting involved. And, you know, we're all working together. But last year, gosh, I think we started the year off 47 below zero, performing at the Grand Lodge in Fairbanks. Then we went to Hawaii where we performed and then just zigzagged all back and forth all the way across the country and doing a bunch of shows in Washington, D.C. But it was a real inspiration to me to one day, I know that Brother Dean is listening. One day I was driving down the road and I get this phone call and he says, "It's Brother Howie Dameron." And I said, "Yes, it is." And he says, "You're hard to find." I said, "Well, not for bill collectors."
Laughing, though. I get to laugh.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, he says, "Well, I'd like for you to come to the Supreme Council." I said, "Supreme Council of what?" So to make a long story short, the next thing I know, I'm standing and performing in Washington at the House of the Temple for Grand Commander Seal and the Supreme Council. And it was such a big, big deal to me that just a few weeks later, they conveyed the 32nd on me and the most important thing, my father, both of us, inside the House of the Temple. And that was just the biggest thing in the world because all the years that I was out touring, 2 decades, I was very, very lucky because my dad, who was my road manager, was also a Master Mason. So we would visit lodges all across the country, just two Master Masons out there traveling around and performing, father and son team. So it's made it a wonderful, wonderful career. It really has.
But yeah, and it might be important just to even mention that the Masonic Pride, it still is a for lack of a better word, a traveling show still. It's still something that you do.
Yeah.
It wasn't as if...
Well, after I had retired, and then I seen, you know, how the songs was helping our youth, and it was motivating brethren. That was how we came across the Masonic Pride Tour. That's how it came up. Masonic pride. We're motivating the pride of the brethren through a simple song. And then the next thing you know, it's other simple songs. Trust me, I'm about as simple as you can get. Dumber than a box of rocks. And I just go out there and do what I've always, you know, pretty much always did. And so, this year we're already getting some shows to go out and perform. So Brother Rick Hess is actually handling the management end on this now for us. And he is doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And it's so important that everyone knows that everywhere that we perform, it is a Masonic motivational fundraiser. These are fundraisers for the lodges. And it was such a big deal to me. One of the shows we did up in Indiana, after the expenses and everything they raised, it was like $45,000 for their learning center. And, you know, which motivated me because I'm dyslexic, and I've always been plagued with dyslexia. And then we've got a new DVD that's coming out right now on a song that I wrote called Dyslexia, the Gift. And it's being introduced into the Northern jurisdiction. And then I also have a song called Getting Right Care for all of the right care clinics in the Southern jurisdiction. So one of the main reasons I did that was to combine the North and the South. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So enough of me rattling.
So, you know, Greg's always about, you know, polite and unabashed, you know, and everything, and kind of quiet and everything. And he won't ask you, but do you think you'd be some of the guys are getting a little antsy to hear you sing a little bit. Would you be okay with that?
Oh, I would love that. My wife always says, sing, don't talk. Well, I've stuck my foot in my mouth so many times, I actually have athlete's tongue. So, you know, I'll just sing the song. I have taken time to go back to the heart of my degrees. I've examined every word I spoke and why I knelt upon my knees. Well, I've surely took for granted all the knowledge I've been told. For the lessons I've been given were forged by brothers in days of old. Way off in the distance, I can hear old Hiram's call. Stand steadfast with the brethren. Let our light shine through you all. For the mission of the ages and who we are is now at hand. Take the lessons you've been given to the hearts of every man. Be the one the young will follow. Through your wisdom they can see. Let them see your motivation. Promote creativity. Show your love of life to every soul. And remember to the wise. Don't take this mission lightly. For you'll be watched by many eyes. Way off in a distance. I can hear old Hiram's call. Stand steadfast with the brethren. Let our light shine through you all. For the mission of the ages and who we are is now at hand. Take the lessons you've been given to the hearts of every man. Take the lessons you've been given to the hearts of every man. Here it is.
Wow. I love that. You know, there's a difference between you and me. If I did that, they'd be running out so fast.
That was beautiful.
Well, thanks. You know, I mean, that's a song right there that, you know, every time that I sing the song, I'm speaking to myself. You know, not just to everyone in the room, but to myself. I want to constantly re-examine my own self.
I have to say, you know, it I mean, it's flawless. Even on a telephone, Brother Howie, just absolutely flawless. It sounded great. And you can tell, I could tell, and maybe in my, you know, my ingenue way of music, but that it's a meaningful song.
Thank you.
It's a deep meaning to it. Dean and I were talking about it, and just, you know, this style of music, and it seems to have a perfect pairing for this.
Well, it's always kind of been my own style, and even though I've played just about every kind of music there is, rock and bluegrass, and but it's message music, and that's what I enjoy.
That's all, Dean. Were you saying something?
Yeah, I was going to say. What was I going to say? Jeez, I lost my train of thought. I was going to say that it's too bad we couldn't get the ring played as well, but I know that's harder to play over the phone, because, you know, you have to play your guitar. But one of the other guys, before I go too far, keeps asking me to remind me to ask you about another song you play, and he wants to know the background to it, and that's the, what is it, what's the name of the song? Starfolded Banner.
Starfolded Banner. Starfolded Banner, I was at a dear friend's house, and he had two folded flags hanging on his wall. And, of course, my first thought was, he was in the other room, and my first thought was, oh, my gosh, he's lost two people, because they was brand new. I'd never seen them there. So he comes walking back in, and I said, Russ, what is this? What are these? Real hesitant when I ask. And he said, right there is two of the greatest gifts that you can get from a son and son-in-law. And I said, gifts? He said, well, you see, my son and son-in-law both are fighter pilots. And I said, I did not know that. And he said, yeah. Yeah, they're both, and they flew one of the first missions after 9/11, had those flags, and sent them to me. And so that just touched me so much, and as I left his house that day, driving down the road, I could hear some guns shooting. So I stopped, pulled off, and they was doing a 21-gun salute at a military funeral. So I head on down the road through this little country road in Ohio. I was thinking about how many times that I've been asked to sing the Star Spangled Banner in my life. And when I was looking at those flags, all you could see was the stars, not the bars, the stars. So I wrote the Star Folded Banner. Now, and I wrote it about his son and son-in-law. Now, after I wrote the song, like I told you earlier in the conversation, I was in Alaska this past year, and the Grandmaster had invited this man to come to my show, and he comes walking in, and he has got just medals hanging all over him. So I go walking up and introduce myself, and it was Russ's son, the man that I actually wrote the song about. So talk about making it difficult to perform that night. But just before I went on stage, after my conversation, sitting talking with him a little bit, he said, I want to become a Freemason. And I said, do you realize you're standing in the middle of Grand Lodge? I'm pretty sure that you'll have no trouble getting a petition in this room. So now, to make a long story short, he was transferred, and he now works in the Pentagon, and he is Brother Russ Tippett. And he is in the Andrew Jackson Lodge inside the George Washington Masonic Memorial. So, Brother Dan, if you're listening, congratulations and welcome to the Brotherhood.
Howie, are you? I don't think you could ever tell a bad story.
Well, you know, that is actually the greatest thing about our craft, is that's the biggest asset, is the friendship that you get going around this whole country And, you know, I mean, I look at Freemasonry maybe different than most people, because when I put that ring on, I stop. And then I focus on what I'm representing when I put that ring on. And, you know, it's not about lodge. It's not about what title you have been able to get to, even though that's the greatest thing in the world in our craft, as you know. It's about returning from whence you came and understanding why you became a Freemason in the first place. When you put that ring on, someone is going to ask you about that ring. And it gives you an opportunity to talk to them about Freemasonry, which is one of the biggest problems that we're having. No one's talking. You guys are talking. Praise God for what you're doing. It's awesome. But it gives you an opportunity to talk about who we are. Pretty excited. Next weekend, we're going to actually be filming a hunting show. Now, like I said, I do a lot of music for a lot of different hunting and fishing shows on national TV. So Brother Rick Hess and I come up with a concept of taking a bunch of Master Masons on a wild hog hunt down in South Georgia in the Okefenokee Swamp. And this is the Masonic Pride team that we're taking. Some of the most dedicated Master Masons that you will ever meet. These guys, they not only talk the talk, they walk the walk. Their light glows about them to where they don't ever have to ask anyone to become a Freemason. Other people ask them, what is Freemasonry? So, you know, that's kind of what, when we're going down and we're going to film next week, and we're kind of excited about that. We'll let everybody know about how that show turns out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you talking about that reminded me of something that we had talked about earlier on. And it was something that in regards to your Outdoor Without Limits and just the story of your ring there and a child that you're out there with and the impact that it had. Do you get that often? Just you mentioned those other gentlemen. You know, those are always the guys that you talk about as the Masons of Masons. Do you find that a lot when you're out and about? Do people notice the ring or you know, some other accoutrement on you that and tie the two together?
Oh yeah. It's a you know, if you have something on, you know, other brothers, as you all well know, will make knowledge that they know and recognize that you're a brother. And you know, it's real humbling to me whenever they have recognized the Masonic ring song. And I was at an airport, and this about brings tears to my eyes. I was at an airport flying, and there was a young man and an elderly guy sitting there, and I seen the young guy, get up to come over to talk to me, and he came over and he said, "You're the writer of the song, The Masonic Ring," and I said, "Yes, I am," and he says, "Well, I just joined, and this is my dad." So, yeah, you know, be proud when you put that square and compass on you. Be proud of what you're representing. And, you know, don't be afraid. And one other thing I want to address, this secret society thing is killing us, guys. It's killing us. As all of you all know, probably everyone on this call is a Master Mason. You know, we have some personal things, but I don't really know of any secrets. And that is just killing us. I heard a man say, a young boy asked him about Freemasonry, and he says, "Well, yeah, I'd tell you, but I have to tell you in secret." Well, I said, "Well, ask me. I'll tell you whatever you want to know." And you know, I mean, he's standing there and he's going, "What is the secret?" I said, "I don't know. I've been in it for 15 years. I don't know what the secret is. I don't know what secret you're talking about." So that needs to cease. As far as that's my own personal opinion. But, you know, don't be afraid to you know, wear the ring, get out there, sing the songs. Shoot, I'm a bad singer. I'm just not afraid to get up and sing.
Well, you've got the best venue to get out there and talk about it. You know, it's so hard to pick up on a thread to actually bring this up, and the music's a great way of doing it. You know, just like with the T-shirt or a cap or a ring or lapel pin, any of those things that give you the opportunity to do it. You know, and I even wanted to mention real quick on the CD Hiram's Call, there's a lot more songs on it than just the two that we've really, or three that we've really talked about so far. I mean, there's 15 songs on here, quite a few, and you've done more and more on the fraternity. So there's a good mix of the two. You're bringing in other styles of music and merging them with the two, so that there's a commonality between them, so that there's an association that it's the music and not necessarily the message. Does that make sense?
Well, that makes total sense. It's just like right now, I'm in the middle of recording a full gospel album and another album about coal mining. I'm from the mountains of West Virginia. My grandfather was a coal miner. And so, you know, I mean, I sing a lot of folk songs. And, of course, coming from, you know, the storyteller song era, I'm just doing what I learned how to do in a place called Slop Holler. You know, I mean, I knew that if I didn't learn how to pick that guitar and pick it better than anybody else, I was never going to be able to get out of that holler. So, you know, I mean, I'm just so humbled and proud that the brothers accept what I'm doing. And
Howie, I was just going to ask there, because something came up on the screen there. Is there such thing as a Canadian Hiram CD?
Yes.
Just for Canadians?
There is. We just
so you put
finished.
An A at the end of all of our songs, or what?
Yeah, I just finished performing in British Columbia for the brothers up there, Brother Randy Sloan and Grandmaster Glenn. And afterwards, they was asking me for a CD for the Canadians brothers. So I wrote a song called Hiram's Canadian Call. And the CD will be available in just a few weeks, just finished.
Let us know when that comes on, because I know that there's a lot of interest up here to bring you up. We had another brother on the board here that wanted. We have a dyslexic center here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, that we were looking, and I know that our deputy grandmaster is bringing you in 2010 here, and so there's a lot of interest up this way. And we'd love to keep you in the loop and see if you can get up here. I'd love to show you my side of Canada if you've only been to BC.
I'd love to come up there and see. Of course, I'm an Ohio boy, you know.
Well, we're friendlier on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just don't ask anyone from the West Coast, because they'll give you another biased answer, right?
I've always found my Canadian brothers to always be very heartfelt when it comes to the craft.
I have a lot of questions popping up on the board for you here, Howie. Another one I had for you was on the website, you talk about your Masonic adventures. Did you want to touch on that a little bit? Or?
Yeah, the Masonic outdoor adventures?
Yes, perhaps that would be it, yeah. It's on it was someone going through your website who found it very informative. And your website can be found where? Maybe you should say that first.
Yeah, we do a lot of different things. I mean, you know, any way that, and it's important that everybody knows that I was retired, but whenever I recognize the mission of how the music touches, you know, when I found out that the greatest two-hour speech and slideshows and everything doesn't work, and a song will work, well, I just felt such a conviction to do it. So therefore, what I do and the Masonic Pride team, what they do for me is they put me in all these different networks, like outdoors, being on hunting shows. We took a little boy that was going blind on a deer hunt, and the song Hiram's Call was actually played on that show, Big Horn Outdoors TV show. And so, you know, and we do all kinds of stuff for helping youth. You know, I mean, the biggest key right now is to introduce the positive light of Freemasonry to our youth and let them know and understand who we are, because they don't receive a lot of flyers on us, as you well know.
No, they don't.
So, you know, and saying absolutely nothing whatsoever against any of the brothers that goes out there and does representing what we're doing, but, you know, we're more than just a bunch of hat wearers. And the song Daddy's Hat, you know, that's on the album. And Freemasons like to have fun. We like to get out and we like to have fun. We like to joke. We like to laugh. And I'm Brother Carl Jones, who I've never met, that I have known now through the internet for quite a while. He is a clown, and everyone talks about he's not just a clown, he's a fantastic clown. So I look forward to going and seeing what he's doing. So there's creativity in every Master Mason. I mean, you know, I hear it all the time. They say, well, there's not a creative bone in my body. Well, sure there is. Everybody has something they can do to help our craft. Anything. I don't care what it is, they can do it. That man, when he came up and he was an amputee in his wheelchair, by him coming up on that stage, that night, we had 10 young men asked to join Freemasonry right there. He wasn't afraid to get out and come up there. So it's not about bringing in thousands and thousands of new members. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it gives an opportunity to give them a mindset on what direction their life needs to go in. I do a lot of stuff at drug addiction clinics, go into a lot of talks there and a lot of different things. It would probably surprise you how many young men and young women who are addicted to painkillers. You know, I mean, it's not getting drunk like it was back when we was little. Today, it's running rampant, and it's killing these kids everywhere. So if you just do a little simple song about Freemasonry, it'll blow your mind, because they'll start asking you questions about it. I had one say, boy, I wish to heck I would have known about this a few years ago. I have no idea what he meant, but I've thought about it often.
Just that making it more accessible, making it open. And
right.
And not being that secret, I think you're spot on with that. Now with the outdoor adventures, were you doing something where the two were rolling together, where there was going to be a Masonic theme to it, or are the two separate in the work that you do?
No, it's Masonic Pride Outdoor Adventures is a series of DVDs that we're going to be doing, and it's not about shoot kill animals. It's about Master Masons getting together, having fun, and talking about Freemasonry. Talking about it. Openly on film, talking about it. Next week, we're so excited because the Masonic Pride team that's going with us, these guys are very vocal, and their answers are overwhelming. I tell Brother Rick Hess all the time, that he's a wordsmith. I may be a songsmith, but he's a wordsmith. He's the best. You want to find out about Freemasonry, ask Rick. You have someone that you don't know how to explain what Freemasonry is about, email Rick. Rick will call you. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to them. And, you know, I'm just excited. I'm so excited about the Masonic Pride team. I just, and we've got so many things that we want to do for this team. I was so humbled here a while back. I'd done a show in Washington at the Scottish Rite Building, and the George Washington Masonic Memorial brother Grant Routes on, great, great friend of mine. He had, he was the worshipful master of the General Andrew Jackson inside the George Washington Masonic Memorial. They are planting a tree in honor of the Masonic Pride team. The team, not Howie, the team. And I'm just humbled to even be part of the team. So join the team, you know, join the team. Don't be afraid to be vocal.
Someone mentioned the Masonic Pride tree. Is that a way of growing the team, or what's that all about?
Excuse me now?
Someone mentioned something about the Masonic Pride tree. I don't know what he's asking. I'm not really familiar.
Well, the Masonic, the tree.
Right here. Just trying to squeeze a few of them in.
the Memorial, I don't know. I hope all of you have had a chance to go to Washington and see the George Washington Masonic Memorial in Alexandria. It's breathtaking. Well, they do these trees, and planting these trees in honor of a lot of different things. And that right there is they're growing this tree, planting this tree this spring in honor of the team. So join the team. I mean I'm pleading with you to join the team.
With the Howie, I'm curious, and one of the questions that we have in the gallery, and it speaks to this and the broader idea, and to some degree it may call for opinion. But what do you think would be a good way to do more outreach? What do you think that we could do, those listening and those that listen down the road, to increase the role of media or the internet to promote Freemasonry? Are there things that we could do or that should be done that you think?
Well, there is every master can answer this for himself. What do you do to advertise on yourself? You know, what do you do? Do you have a ring? Do you have a and this is one thing, and I love it, just tickles me to death. You've seen the brothers who have the pins all over them. To me, I think that's the most incredible addiction that you can get. That's incredible. That right there is displaying your pride for the craft. And I know everywhere that I go, and it's a big honor to me that everyone gives me pins. We kind of started on my guitar straps, I started putting the pins. Well, I'm sitting here in my writing studio, and we've got all these guitar straps here that got so heavy that I was afraid if I fell off stage, it'd kill me. But, you know, that's just, yeah, there's all kinds of things you can do. All kinds of things you can do.
I think in a broad way, you spoke to it early in just the being open about it, not being afraid to say anything about it, you know. And some of that comes back to you have to learn a little bit about it before you know what to say about it. I think often we don't say anything about it because we don't talk about it, or even our role models that we look up to don't talk about it. So by consequence, we don't say anything. So,
right,
even hearing this that, you know, from us on here, on this side, Masonic Pride, or even from you, Brother Howie, just be open about it. Don't be afraid to talk about it.
Well, you know, I was hesitant. I'm not going to lie. I was so hesitant whenever Brother Rich asked me to do this. I thought, oh, I don't know about this. I don't know how it would be accepted. Well, I have not had one negative comment. I have never once ever asked anyone to be a Freemason, not once. But whenever I found the formula of what my dad calls it, the successful art of gathering, and he practices it constantly. On the inside of the Hiram's Call CD, we have a generic petition. And after you listen to the songs, you know, if you're interested in being a Freemason, just fill it out and send it in. Well, it kind of ricochets back and forth from Washington to the Grand Lodge to your local lodge. My dad turned 12 in last month. He turned 12 of these in last month.
I would be, you know, we should get your dad on here. I'd be very interested to hear him talk about the Art of Gathering and that idea of it, and with a little application, but even the broader idea of just being accessible for it.
I would venture to say that today alone, my dad has probably talked about Freemasonry 10 times. Probably 10 times.
And that's from the grocery store all the way down to the gas station.
He wears them out at the bowling alley. and at the grocery store.
Frank, I got to bump in again. You don't have any other Acapulco songs, but Acapulco. I'm butchering this, baby.
Well, you know what? I'm going to try something here, and I don't really know how this will work out, because most of the times when I'm doing an interview, they play the music, but I will try to play this, and I'm a knife maker, and I hand forge knives as a hobby. And I'm forging knives for the Masonic Pride team, and I cut my finger pretty heavy. I will try this. I'm going to try just to lay the guitar down and see if you can hear it. I don't know if it'll work or not, but I'm willing to try if you guys are willing to listen.
The first for our podcast, so after this, you might force us to reinvent ourselves a little bit.
Yeah. And Howie, if it doesn't work, we'll just loop the track in after. No, just kidding. I'm sure it'll work fine.
Great. We will.
Well, we'll give it a try here.
Anything you can do.
We'll give it a try here. Remember, I'm just an old redneck on top of the hill, so I'll lay it down and we'll give it a try. Hang on.
Well, he always shines a special light to everyone he meets. Loves to talk and shake the hands of everyone he greets. He's always optimistic, he'll give you anything. On his hand he proudly wears a ring. I'd seen the emblem often on signs in many towns, and you'll see it on old tombstones and graveyards all around. So I asked if he would tell me exactly what it means. He smiled and said, I'll tell you about this ring. It's a way that I can tell the world the kind of man I am, that I put my trust in God above, and for brotherhood I stand. It reminds me to be honest, to remember whence I came. I'm a man that you can count on, that's why I wear. So with shaken voice, I returned all my 3 degrees. Just before I saw the light while bending on my knees. Room was also silent, and all at once I got to see. And my eyes began to focus on Dad and my own ring. Now it's a way that I will tell the world the kind of man I am, that I put my trust in God above, and for brotherhood I stand. It reminds me to be honest, to remember whence I came. I'll be a man that you can count on, that's why I will. Tonight I watched as my son received his own EA.
Well, hopefully you heard it.
Man, that came out beautifully.
Good.
Well, cool. That's cool. So if you like that one, I've got 2,000 more here. No, just
You know, people love live music, right? So the whole energy is awesome. So when they hear this, they know we haven't redubbed it, but that's the real you without any fancy machine
and,
like some other people use.
And it came out perfect. You know, one of the questions that keeps coming up in the chat here for the show is any chance that this music will be available in iTunes, or are you selling exclusively through your website?
Well, actually, yeah, they're getting ready to do all kinds of things, and like I was telling you guys, that you know the Masonic Pride team, these guys are absolutely fabulous. They're working on all different things. I know now you can get them at our website, which is howiesmasonicpride.com, and you know, Brother Rick is working on all different things on the computer, so. Yeah, I'm up for anything anyone wants to do. I just want to get the music in front of the brothers.
That's
and hopefully
fantastic.
They can use it.
That's absolutely fantastic. Well, Howie, we've come to the end of the hour here.
But I was going to sing a song, Greg. Oh,
you
went at a time. Oh, shucks.
Going to have a man with an injured finger do another song.
me.
maybe next time, if we ever get an opportunity to do the next one, I'll have it set up, and maybe we can just, with all this technology, we can just run right straight through the studio here into the.
That'd be perfect. Maybe Dean and I'll come and pay a visit. We'll do it. We'll actually do it in studio.
That
would be a lot of fun.
Sure.
Howie, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And you said it a moment ago, and I was going to wait till the end for the big finish to tell everybody where to go to. We had it in the post, but anybody who's listening to the show now, the website to find this music and to find out everything that Brother Howie's got going on is howiesmasonicpride.com. That's Howie's with an S, masonicpride.com. And you can find all of his CDs on sale there in the store section. And you have quite a few. We're not talking just one or two CDs. You've got a pretty good selection going on there.
We've actually got some more coming on. And, you know, if I could just leave one thing with every brother that's listening, you know, if I can, and then I'll hang up and shut up. The concept of Freemasonry, guys, is bigger than any of us. The concept of Freemasonry is bigger than any Freemason living today. Its wisdoms and its teachings is endless, and its guidance gives hope to those who tries to understand it. You know, a lodge should be a gathering place of good men who've come together to put aside their differences. I represent Waterloo 532, and I ask every one of you to come to this little lodge. When the doors open, fun begins. Fun begins. We have a little thing sitting out front that you just scrape your feet off and you come in the lodge. You want to really see the formula of real Freemasonry? Come to this lodge. It's growing every day. And it's an old lodge, and it is a full moon lodge. Now, most of you may not know what that means, but it's one of the last of the full moon lodges.
I know what it is.
Yeah, they still do it. We meet the Wednesday of the full moon. So, you know, I want to hear from everybody. It just means so much to me to hear from everybody. And, you know, if you look around you right now and you don't see the insanity that's going on, then your eyes is closed. So, you know, there's really no other way to say this is a crusade that I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do it. All the travel and everything is hard. It means so much to me to be able to go out and visit and perform for all the brothers. So, you know, if you want to do a fundraiser or anything, please get in touch with us, and we'll turn Brother Rick loose on you. And man, he can really show you how to make these fundraisers successful.
That's great. And I just somebody posted in the gallery here that you're follow MySpace pretty closely. So Howie's MySpace profile is myspace.com Howie Damron, Damron.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Greg,
but,
we, should, we should stay close to our time and start to wrap up.
Yep.
And what we'll do after
right.
the show is open up, and
yep.
we'll, if Howie sticks on, we can maybe get a few people to ask some questions after
yep,
the show.
Yep, I was going
to
say, stick around, Brother Howie.
I'm
we
here.
Do a little after show, so everybody who wants to chime in can certainly jump in. Just a quick few items before we say goodnight. We have a show that is coming up, Wendy, and what have we got another show? Next week, we have an open schedule, but I think we're going to be doing a table talk show, and we're going to talk a little bit about lodges and technology. We did this last year. We're going to come back to the topic again and revisit it with some new things that we've sort of been talking about on the horizon and what we can do. And a new project that I have, actually, in taking over the reins for my lodge website. I'm going to bring it to everybody. And then a week after that, on the 8th, we have Maja Doost, who's the librarian at the Philosophical Research Society here in Los Angeles. And then on the 15th, James Wasserman, author and publisher of a few esoteric books. And then going out, we have a couple weeks off there, and then more guests following in March. So check us out on the web. You can find us at MasonicCentral.com. Send us your emails. Let us know what you thought about Howie and the show at MasonicCentral@gmail.com. And again, you can find all things Howie Dameron at Howie'sMasonicPride.com or on MySpace at MySpace/Howie Dameron.
Greg, don't forget about the Twitter group.
Oh, and our new Twitter group. Dean, go ahead and tell us about that one.
The Twitter group. Look up our show at Masonic Central. That's Masonic Central, no space in the middle there. Find me on Twitter, and then I'll point you over to the Twitter group. So if you're into Twitter, it's #Mason, M-A-S-O-N. But I'll make sure you find it, or search #MASON, and you'll find it for the Twitter group. Look us up. We got our own Twitter username and Twitter for the show.
That's exciting. My wife's called me a twit for years, and now I don't feel so bad.
Well, now we do it on the web.
With this show, the name of the program, Twitter. You know what I mean? It's a great brand name.
Dean, I don't know if you noticed it, but we'll put a little Easter egg up on the website for all those who are looking to support the show in the ways that they can. We put something up there for you if you're so inclined as a way to help us grow the show. Take a look at our website, MasonicCentral.com, and you'll know what we're talking about. And let us know what you think about that. I'm not going to say anything about it until next week. So I guess that's it. Dean, anything else that you want to throw in?
No.
No? Okay, just to hit our usual disclaimer, all the content that we talked about here tonight, mine, Dean's, Howie's, and any guests with questions is representative of us, the contributors, and does not represent necessarily the opinions of any regular or irregular Masonic body or Masonic Grand Lodge, though I'm sure they would agree with most of what we said tonight. Again, big thanks to you, Brother Howie. I appreciate you being on. And I look forward to talking to you soon in the future. Look for our shows, MasonicCentral.com, and I guess that's it. This is Brother Greg Stewart saying travel light.
And this is Dean Kennedy saying see you in the East.
Brother Howie, God bless each and every one of you.